Do not adjust your podcast machine thingamajig. We control the horizontal and the... No, don't. The other one. Press the... No, the button. The one next... Put that
this
back...
One.
No, put it back where you first had it.
But...
We don't control the horizontal or anything else. We're Radio Shrads, and we're back, baby.
We certainly are. Hello again.
Hi, Tobes.
Hi, Owen. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. It's been, a couple of weeks since the last episode, so probably time to put another one out.
I was thinking about 10 years, actually, I was thinking.
Oh, yeah, okay, maybe.
But probably both, actually, at the same time.
Well, you went into hypersleep.
I did.
I didn't. Or did you? No, that wouldn't work. The other way around.
Which one of us gets the small cup, Gandalf?
I don't know. Yeah, not much has happened.
No, been pretty quiet.
Yeah. I was wondering, with global pandemics, because they are a thing, you've got two options as a podcast, or actually other any media. You either just don't mention it,
yeah,
or it's your entire focus.
Yeah.
So we'll do a half measure of kind of like, we'll nod to it and just kind of like, yeah, hope everybody's okay out there.
Half measures is where I'm at.
Yeah.
Well, half the way of where I'm at, but yeah.
Hope everybody's surfing through the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's going really well. We might still be recording. Yep, maybe.
Oh!
Who knows? Who knows whether we've remembered how to record Radio Charades?
Yes.
Don't know.
I hope we managed to wind the gramophone up before we started this.
Yeah. As I recall, the first feature is news.
Yes.
So, consequently, I have... No, I didn't... Did you do the news?
Last time.
Did you do the news last time?
So oh, it's my turn this time. Yeah, I think probably is, yeah.
How about the episode that we lost?
Oh, the lost episode, yes.
The lost episode.
Yes.
So, your turn on the news,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Have you got any?
Yes, I have. I mean, not much has actually been going on in the world in the last year or so. It's been pretty quiet.
Emergency temporal shift. It's the news bit.
Cheese photo leads to arrest of drug dealer. Carl Stewart, 39, was sentenced to 13 years and 6 months in prison.
Hold the phone a minute. Don't forget to break this down a little bit. I have a few guesses at what that actually means.
Okay.
Cheese photo.
Yeah.
Leads to arrest of drug dealer.
Yes.
Oh, that's self-explanatory, really.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think is going to happen?
Because... because I knew it was a Gouda day because I didn't have to use my AK.
Yes.
Yeah, it's another contemporary reference from Radio Shiraz.
Yeah.
And cheese bun all in one.
That's pretty impressive, actually, yeah.
So
yeah.
Drugs, cheese photo. Well, we say cheese when we take photos, don't we? So maybe that's
there's it's relevant. A good mental image, isn't it? This bloke with a huge sort of steel briefcase under his arm.
And
with the word drugs on it and just a big thumbs up and a grin.
I was thinking like wearing a wheel of cheese on his head, just like a massive hat.
That would be cool.
There is a...
Like a cheese sombrero.
There's an American football team that's the cheesers or something. The Pittsburgh cheesiness. Or something.
Are you thinking of Phil Collins?
No, he believes in cheeses.
He's been talking to cheeses.
He's been talking to cheeses all his life.
It's one of those lyrics where when you hear it, you will never hear it differently.
Yeah.
It's like, I Fought the Law and the Law Won.
Yeah.
There's a lyric in that, which is, I think my race is run. And if you hear that as, I left my racist mum.
I mean, it's hard to compete with the Kinks. And they're sitting on a sofa, which sounds massively like working on a slug farm. Just listen to the song and you have to trust me.
I'm sure that's a Spinal Tap number. But
no,
yeah.
Genuine Kinks record. Cheese. I must be able to think of more cheese. Damn, I got caught.
I'm just sitting here with smoke coming up my ears thinking, Gorgonzola, Gorgonzola.
Go on then, what's the real story?
Okay, the real story is that this chap was sentenced to 13 years and 6 months after pleading guilty conspiracy to supply a variety of drugs.
Jesus.
Drugs, but he was caught because of a photo he shared of himself holding a cheese block from the, quote, reputable British retailer Marks and Spencer's. Apparently, he was arrested after he posted the photo on the encrypted messaging service EncroChat via his handle, quote, Toffee Force, unquote. Unbeknownst to him, the service had been cracked by police in Europe, and from that, his palm and fingerprints were analysed, and the police had their man.
Wow.
So, I mean, this throws up some questions for me, I must admit.
A lot of questions.
When I was investigating...
It's disturbingly like... His handle is disturbingly close to father of the podcast, Alec Parry's handle.
Yes, it's true. It's not the same man.
Short skip and a jump.
Well, I don't think I could recognise Alec by his hands. So, I don't know. Sure. I mean, the picture this...
He used to do this...
Oh, yeah, he used that to weird... Play. Yeah.
The viewers at home, it was perfect.
It was. If you're listening in black and white, that one was red. The picture I saw was basically a hand holding a block of cheese.
Well, as one does.
And I was just thinking, well, why is a man on a drug dealer on an encrypted message service, which is probably for the dark web and dealing, selling drugs and whatever, holding a picture of a cheese?
Because they're still people, Topes.
Oh, right.
I mean, I know they're naughty people, but there are still people.
So he's probably thinking...
What my question is, how do the police then go, this guy's holding up a block of cheese, let's arrest him? I get that they got his fingerprints off the block of cheese, but how do you know he's a drug dealer just because he's got a block of cheese?
Well, he might have just posted, just dealt a load of drugs,
oh, right.
Settling also, down for a bit of cheese.
Also been to M&S.
Yeah, just dropped round to M&S. Gosh, drug dealing makes me hungry.
Yeah. I'm going to fry me up some halloumi.
Exactly. Nice. Yeah. Halloumi is the gin. Yeah. I mean,
you're just going to slide that one in, aren't you?
I'm going to run away from it now. I'm going to slide one and sneak out the back door. Maybe he was thinking, I'm the big cheese, so look at this cheese, which is like me because it's quite big.
Oh,
I've
got to get me some cheddar, yo.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Yeah. What about cheese being street lingo?
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but you know, I've heard that... eating cereal without milk is a thing that gangsters do. So he might have been just showing that he was very gangster by doing this.
Maybe.
Or maybe the big cheese wanted to team up with a safe cracker.
No, get out.
All right, I'll stop that. Let's move on briskly. Yeah.
Jesus.
You know you said you weren't going to do much editing.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we should have warned the viewer that... this is going to be unedited because I'm trying to move house or something. So who knows?
Yeah.
I hope you enjoy the clicks and the quacks.
Yeah.
Crack on.
Mystery animal in tree turns out to be croissant.
That sells itself as a story, doesn't it?
I don't think any explanation I give can really no,
that's,
as well.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. Just, yeah. All I need is a location. I'd like to know a location for this.
Krakow, Poland.
Nice. No, I don't know why that makes the story better, but it does. I think it's because the croissant is somewhat incongruous.
Yeah.
With Krakow. I don't know why I think that. Why couldn't they have croissant in Krakow?
Croissant in Krakow? Krakow. Yeah.
It's not easy to say.
No, it's not, is it? No.
It's surprisingly difficult.
No. I think the explanation is inevitably going to be a disappointment on this one.
I think so. Because my obvious question is, what animal did they think it was? But you've already explained that it was a mystery animal, so...
Well, actually...
A squirrel looks like a croissant.
You would think so, wouldn't you? Because it's brown and it's sort of quite compact. Yeah, and, you know, it's
got a curled tail, sort of thing.
Yeah, that's quite close. The actual answer is an iguana. A woman in Krakow had quite a fright when she saw what looked like a bizarre animal be hanging in a lilac tree outside her home for a few days.
Yeah.
She called for help dealing with what she thought might be an iguana.
Yeah.
And when the officers showed up on the scene, they were able to capture the mystery animal easily because it turned out to be a croissant, according to a Facebook post by the Krakow Animal Welfare Society.
Now, because of the nature of the story... There's a question that doesn't get answered because it seems totally insignificant compared to the wonder of the story itself. But why was the croissant in the tree?
Get to the other side? I don't know.
Case closed.
All credit, Krakow Animal Welfare Society did theorise that the croissant had been thrown out of a window as a treat for birds in the area and ended up getting... stuck in the tree.
I mean, when it comes to news, Dobes,
yeah,
I'm not okay with this wild speculation.
Yeah.
By Krakow Animal Protection Services.
Yeah.
They should stick to the facts.
Well, I mean, they have got a little message for all of us, because although the woman's worry turned out to be unfounded, according to them, she did the right thing because, quote, there are people willing to get rid of any animal that causes some trouble or just get bored. It's better to check and be pleasantly disappointed.
Pleasantly disappointed is a great phrase.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, I've never been to Krakow, but you know.
How was the opera tonight? Oh, I was pleasantly disappointed. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Do you have more news to pleasantly disappoint me?
Well, I've got my sources don't mention what happened to the croissant after it was retrieved from the tree.
Right.
Presumably it was allowed to run free. Okay. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, humanely put down.
Put down by a hungry person. Yeah. So remember, kids, the croissant is for life, not just for breakfast. So this one's got a picture, so it's obviously ideally suited to this podcast.
Ah, yes.
And house for sale in Massachusetts is not haunted.
Okay.
And a sign has gone up on a house for sale near Boston in the US to announce that it is not haunted. And I'm just going to show you this because... There you go.
Not haunted. Okay.
Yeah. Now, I thought that was quite interesting because it raises a lot of questions, doesn't it, really?
But is there more in that picture that I don't see? Like,
well, a ghost.
I was going to say, is there a hand reaching out of that pile of leaves?
Or... a spectral form just
I
nailing
it. I kind of thought that you were going to show me a picture of a for sale sign with... writing much like the red rum writing from The Shining just scrawled over it. I'm not a ghost, honestly.
Actually, given the look of the sign, there could well be just a little person hanging off the arm or something, like a voodoo doll or something.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, would you buy a house? Yeah, you're obviously moving house.
Listed as not haunted.
Not haunted, yeah.
I was told in the house that I'm buying that... the lady who previously owned it didn't die there, which is kind of like, thanks, brilliant.
Great, that's good. Yeah, yeah, it's good. I mean, maybe this could become a bit of a trend. You know, maybe
not haunted.
No murders occurred here
currently.
Honestly, there's no moose in the cellar. Yeah. You know, it's a callback.
That is a hell of a callback.
Oh.
yeah,
something like that. So you know that's you know, we'll see how it goes. Yeah. It's more exciting.
I mean, do you think the market will split in two and there will be haunted houses and non-haunted houses?
Could be, actually.
I mean, is there even scope for an unknown level of haunting?
Or possible haunting.
Just kind of... We don't know. We haven't looked into it.
Things do go dark in the night here, yeah. But it could just be subsidence, so you're okay.
It could be just the neighbour slamming the car doors loudly, yeah. I mean, I'm worried here that it's just one more level of searches that you have to do before you can buy a property. Before the mortgage can be agreed, you've
so
got to
like
do
it. So it's like conveyancer, surveyor, priest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tarot reading. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Ouija board.
Yeah.
What's that say? It says, this will take 28 days. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anybody in the room who wants to sell a house? You do, sir. You want to sell a house. Is it taking a long time? yeah, so that's that one. And I thought this was keeping on a spectral theme, actually, when I first started reading this, because the last story we've got today is Trump waxwork moved.
It's quite fun that Trump used to be president, isn't it?
Do you remember that guy?
Because it was really weird. Because now, it was amazing how quickly that funny fella disappeared.
Yeah.
And now it feels like when you sort of see archive footage of the president, Trump, you kind of think, oh, I've seen this episode before. Mm. Not, oh yes, that was the president of America.
Yeah, it's a bit like, I don't know, when someone says to you, do you remember, I don't know, Going for Gold with Henry Kelly?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, what was that
somebody
about?
Somebody mentioned the Adventure Game the other day.
Oh,
do you remember
gosh,
how
yeah.
that ended with the weird hex board and the bad guy coming towards you?
Ooh,
very sci-fi.
Bit nightmare.
It was a bit nightmare, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of fell off the board.
Oh, right. Yes.
Do you remember?
Yes,
quite scary.
Yeah, it was quite scary,
you know,
yeah.
The man, he was quite Darth Vader-esque.
Well, you see, here we are, you know, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, Trump might as well move, but actually in Texas,
yeah.
Because people keep punching it in the face.
Because when you first read it, you think, I thought, there's a haunting.
Yeah.
The waxworkers move. No, they've moved
it. They've moved it, yeah, because they're taking it off display because people keep socking it.
That seems totally reasonable.
Yeah, a wax figure of former President Donald Trump was removed from display at Louis Tussauds Waxworks in San Louis Tussauds. I don't know if he's in San Antonio, Texas, because customers keep punching and scratching it.
I don't condone violence, but I do condone fake violence.
Yeah, okay, well, violence on fake people.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's not genuine violence.
No, it's like Blade Runner.
It's assault. No. It's like Blade Runner, sort of.
Sort of vandalism, no, yeah. Really. Yeah, well, we've always had trouble with the presidential section, because no matter what president it was, Bush, Obama or Trump, they've all had people beat them. Clay Stewart, regional manager for Ripley Entertainment, told the San Antonio Express News. I should probably have done him in a really, really broad Texas accent, actually.
I feel that would be racist of you.
Okay, I'll give that a miss.
Potentially.
My mental image of Texas is that people, you know, everyone's a cowboy. So they might go for their six shooter. But apparently a figure of President Barack Obama lost its ears 6 times. And
it's just a badly made model, isn't it?
That keeps falling off. They're like, very soon.
Oh, somebody was hitting it. Somebody, no, you're rubbish at making models.
Yeah, you didn't stick the ears on right,
did you? It's just chewing gum.
Yeah. And former President George W. Bush's figure's nose was punched in.
Right.
Now, I've got a picture here of the picture of Donald Trump with two people that he likes. and now...
It doesn't look a lot like President Trump.
I thought it might be Paul McCartney, actually.
Yeah, there's a little bit of Paul there, isn't there? I can see that now that you mention it.
Yeah,
in fact, Paul used to do the thumbs up thing that Trump's doing in that picture too.
Yeah, it's kind of Paul in an ill-fitting wig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
That's lovely.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. There. So there he is. Whoa! Something's happening.
Somebody's advertising something to Toby.
Oh man. Oh dear. But we can't have advertising on our podcast. That'd
no.
Be really good.
No, we wouldn't want to make any money out of things.
No. No. Have you ever listened to that on podcasts? By the way,
podcast.
Well. No, your podcast.
Oh, okay.
I used to
do a podcast.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. How'd I like it?
Ah.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, it's very strange when you listen to a podcast and suddenly the interviewer starts reading out a product.
Right, yeah.
I think maybe we could do that. You know, I don't know what
we could do. We could do a product, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, so if anybody wants us to sell their product.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you been... are you done with the news?
I am done with the news, yeah.
Have you been...
That's all there is to know.
Have you... Because I don't know whether I really announced it to our viewer that I left Facebook because Facebook's rubbish. But it also meant that I lost all connection with Radio Shiraz listeners. So if you do want to get in touch with Radio Shiraz, I am out here. And having left Facebook, I don't get to talk to anybody. So do email radioshiraz@gmail.com if you'd like to chat. And just say, you know, how much you've missed me. At us.
Us.
It's definitely not a cry for help from me.
Of course,
you've been fraternising with the other side. The other side.
Which one's Lay?
The listeners.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm very fond of the listeners. yeah, those guys. Yeah. Well, actually, as a funny coincidence, I actually left Twitter. We've kind of covered everything now. That's our entire advertising base abandoned.
Oh, I should mention, speaking of listeners, I was doing a little video chat with a couple of my friends the other day, who I think have all listened, but during the father of the podcast, Alan Parry, Roger, who I'm pretty sure is a listener, but I can't remember his number, and Andy Smith, Thomas, who's listener number one. And we played a game. I don't know whether anybody else does this on their Google Meets or their Zoom chats, but we play a game which is who can grab the most interesting thing without leaving the screen.
Right.
So it's basically like, what have you got on your desk? And it was a good game, but I think Andy probably won because he had his listener number one trophy.
Oh, wow.
So, he had his Radio Shiraz trophy to hand.
Good work, Andy.
Yeah. He didn't even know... that I was going to be on the call. So, hi, Andy.
Yeah, hi.
And other people, but mostly Andy, right?
Right, well, having finished a cheese course, what's the meat of this episode?
Well, I thought as a little treat, I would read you a story.
Excellent.
I'm a parent, and I read stories. There's a collection of stories that I don't like. Actually, there's quite a few stories I don't like. There's a lot of really good children's literature these days,
right,
for the little ones.
Yeah.
This is one I don't like, mostly because the protagonist is a bad person who doesn't get his comeuppance. And the story is basically kind of, you can get away with it.
Are your kids ready for Hellraiser?
Probably. because of having a chat with my legal advisor, my competent legal advisor, not you, Tom.
Oh, okay, not me.
What I've done is I've changed the names in the story.
Oh, okay, right.
Because otherwise, reading out one of their books, they might get upset with me for doing it.
Right, okay.
But I'm going to try and do it in a voice for you, Dolby, if you'd like. That would give you an idea of what kind of story we might be listening to. Do, 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 do. It's about a train.
Right.
A famous train, so you might be able to work it out for yourself.
Mad Max 2. 3. I will not get my Mad Max.
Yeah, don't get your Mad Maxes wrong.
Yeah, Beyond Thunderdome.
So I thought we could have a little read of the story. Feel free to interject whenever you like, and then we'll break it down at the end, and maybe we'll have some other comments about this world that somebody has created. I'm just going to clear my throat a little. But I'm not editing that out. You can enjoy that cough, and now I'm going to have a little sip.
So you should be advertising toothpaste.
Right, okay, yeah.
The minty fresh taste of, yeah.
It was an exciting day on the island Dr. Moreau. A photographer was coming to take pictures for a book about the railway. The engine's funnels fizzed with excitement. I'll be photographed the most because I'm the number one tank engine, boasted Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy was on his way to Tony Blair's farm when he spotted Napoleon and the photographer.
Oh, that works. This is by Orwell, isn't it?
Yeah. Eddie Murphy, of course, playing all the roles.
Yes.
As he's so far
today. Yeah, that happened in 1984, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy pumped his pistons as hard as he could. He wanted to be in Napoleon's photograph. Flashbang wallop! Shouted Eddie Murphy as the photographer took the picture. Bye, Napoleon! Napoleon was so surprised to see Eddie Murphy that he bashed into a siding and landed in a coal heap. But Eddie Murphy didn't stop. He hurried off to Tony Blair's farm. Eddie Murphy wanted to catch up with the photographer again as soon as he could.
Really would, wouldn't you?
Yes, quite. At the farm, the photographer was taking a photograph of Florence Nightingale. Eddie Murphy's wheels whirred. He raced up to Florence Nightingale just as the photographer's camera flashed. Flashbang wallop! Shouted Eddie Murphy. Bye, Florence! Florence Nightingale was so shocked, his wheels bounced off the tracks.
Slight interesting take on Florence there, actually. I mean, him having wheels is two interesting changes to the canon, shall we say.
Maybe it was Florence and the Machine instead of Florence Nightingale.
Florence is a machine.
Yes.
And a chap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like me to correct the genders as well? It's hard enough correcting the names. The names were randomly assigned by Toby, not knowing what he was randomly assigning names to, so you can blame him. Later that day, Eddie Murphy spotted the photographer on the bridge. He was about to take a picture of Batman. Bust my buffers, said Eddie Murphy. Sorry, I'll read that again. Bust my buffers, said Batman, as Eddie Murphy raced past.
I think you should say that again.
Bust my buffers.
Come on, in the voice.
Oh, sorry.
And who's the Batman fan here?
I was doing the voice, but of the original character, not this character.
Oh, right.
I'm so much better at Bane than I am. I can do a Bane voice much easier than a Batman voice. Bust my buffers, said Batman, as Eddie Murphy raced past. A big cloud of steam swallowed up the photographer and he dropped his camera. Kate Bush stepped down from Batman's cab and he saw the broken camera. He was very cross. "I'm sorry, Kate Bush," said Eddie Murphy. "I wanted to be in all the photographs." Luckily, the photographer had another camera at the docks. Eddie Murphy rushed off to fetch it. Eddie Murphy picked up the spare camera from the docks and was on his way back when he passed Napoleon and Florence Nightingale.
As you do.
Yeah, naturally. "I have to take this camera to the photographer, then I will come back and help you," he called. The photographer was delighted that Eddie Murphy had brought him his spare camera. "Thank you, Eddie Murphy," he said. "Would you like me to take your picture?" "Not right now," replied Eddie Murphy. "I have to go and help my friends." Eddie Murphy asked Stephen Fry to help Florence, Nightingale and Napoleon. "Thank you, Stephen Fry." "Thank you, Eddie Murphy," they said. Eddie Murphy didn't see the photographer for the rest of the day, but he didn't mind. He was helping his friends. A few weeks later, the photographer came back to the island of Dr. Moreau to show everyone the finished book. "I hope it's full of really useful engines," said Kate Bush.
Nailed the voice. You really have.
Thank you. Eddie Murphy looked at the cover of the book and gasped. "Bubbling boilers," said Eddie Murphy. On the front cover, there was a picture of Stephen Fry and Eddie Murphy rescuing Napoleon from the coal pile. "You and me, Napoleon," smiled Eddie Murphy. "That's the best photograph of all." The end.
It was very moving.
It was moving. And basically, he's a scumbag. And then has the audacity to say, "Oh, I can't have a photograph now because I'm helping my friends." Yeah, you put them in the ground, son. Right? He's a villain, an absolute villain. And then gets photographed and is like, "Oh, yeah, you and me, buddy, you and me, to the end of the line." Like, no, you push this guy off the rails. That's Napoleon, you don't mess.
No. I mean, he rules the farm. Yeah. Yeah. I can't see the pictures from here, so I can't work out if it is Napoleon the pig or Napoleon the French autocrat. But, you know, it'd be interesting to know. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Working on Tony Blair's farm.
Yeah. So that was Beverly Hills Train. yeah.
There is even a pig in here.
Oh, yeah, he's hiding in the back. Yeah.
Yeah, I obviously I wanted to kind of address... There's a lot of things wrong with this
classic work.
Tank engine and his TV series, and parents rightly hate him for a number of different reasons. But for me, that's like so on the surface. He does the wrong thing. He doesn't apologise. And he actually goes on to take credit for being the hero of the day. And it's just like, well, you absolute villain. Like, and that is... in a nutshell, what Eddie Murphy is every episode.
Right, yeah.
Like, this is not an anomaly.
Yeah.
That's like a standard fare. Eddie Murphy gets a bunch of things wrong, quite often against advice of other people.
Yeah.
Like it's quite common for Kate Bush to tell him how to do it properly, and he won't listen to Kate. And then he goes.
He doesn't listen to Kate.
Normally, quite often, there'll be three or four people, you know, Batman will tell him not to do it. There'll be a bunch of people telling him not to do it. Yeah. And then he will do it. And then it'll go wrong. And at that point, he'll go and ask for help. And you think,
fool.
Well, hang on a minute. Why is everybody else now having to do your job?
I've got to say, if Batman told me not to do something and Kate Bush told me not to do something, I wouldn't do it.
I mean, that covers all the bases, right?
Like, yeah.
You know, what else have you got?
Yeah, I mean, these are two people that I respect greatly. So, yeah.
And then he always ends up being kind of the hero. And you just think, like, this one...
Is that the difference engine?
This is Thomas the Difference Engine, yeah. Just, you be careful. I've read a book with that in, and there's copyright, I'm sure.
Oh, right, okay.
With that joke, I'm sure. You can't just take somebody else's jokes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, this one, which is called On Misty Island. He basically thinks he can do it all. There's a few other characters who keep offering him help.
Yeah.
Chaucer and Lassie keep offering him help.
Right.
And Nick Cave is in there as a bit of a comedy character.
Well, yeah, he is. Yeah.
And they keep offering him help all the way through. He gets it colossally wrong, destroys a bunch of property, and then goes, oh, I can't do this alone. I'll need some help. Like, we've been offering you help for the whole, in the last couple of days, you know, but you were too arrogant. He's just a little scumbag.
Do you feel you might be reading a little too much into this?
No, it's surface level types.
Oh, okay, it's right. This isn't an interpretation. This is yeah.
No, it's right there. It's, you know, every episode he gets it wrong, and then he'll always come out good in the end, and he'll be everybody's favourite. And you think, what? How are you? How is nobody, you know, raking you over the coals about this and just saying like, you did this. You broke that guy's camera.
Yeah, yeah.
And you pushed that. You pushed Napoleon.
Yeah.
Off the rails. You pushed Florence Nightingale off the rails. You broke the photographer's camera, and now you're going to claim the glory, are you?
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a lot of glory in that at all.
It's crazy. No. I mean, you just think at no point does anybody go, well, hang on a minute. Why are we praising him? Why is he on the front cover? He was the one that put them in there.
Yeah.
Oh, and. Incidentally, if you actually watched the episode or looked at the pictures in the book, you would see that when he gets help from Stephen Fry, it's Stephen Fry that does all the work.
Right.
Thomas, what am I talking about? I mean Eddie Murphy.
Of course.
Eddie Murphy tows Stephen Fry to the scene of the accident.
Yeah.
And then Stephen Fry does all the work.
Yeah.
So this whole Eddie Murphy is the hero of the day nonsense. It's crazy. It upsets me.
Well, I've got to say, I enjoyed the grown-ups version of Animal Farm a lot more. I got a lot more out of that.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. I think George should stick to adults' books. Really.
Right, okay. Hey, right. Remarkably, predictably, my phone just had a little hiccup, and we I think we only missed 7 or 8 really good jokes from Toby.
Yeah.
Which were not repeatable.
No.
Or memorable.
No.
So we're going to close it off there. I hope you enjoyed story time, Toby.
I did very much, Owen, and I'm ready to go to sleep now.
Yeah, good.
Can you just get off my bed?
Yeah, sure. That's fair enough. I hope you enjoyed story time, dear listener. I'm not going to go so far as to say we're back, but we're back for at least one episode.
We've not got away.
Yeah, we're actually dead. Yeah, absolutely. We're not allowed to.
I mean, I was just thinking it's a bit like the end of one of the Halloween films, really, where you don't know if there's going to be another film if they get the money together.
Probably.
But the guy he probably isn't dead.
Yeah, he probably isn't. Yeah. We're probably not dead.
No, we're probably going to return.
Yeah. But yeah, how did we used to sign off? Oh, I remember. Something about you being Toby and me being Owen, and you've been listening to Radio Charades.
You have indeed been listening to Radio Charades.
You've been listening to Radio Charades, and we still don't know why.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.